Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Shall we start with the perfectly normal, according to Donald Trump, practice of coaching Russian politicians on how to get into Donald Trump's good books?
Simply astonishing, James. This relates, of course, to President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, who I think it's fair to say in an earlier age would already have been arrested and charged with treason based on the leaked transcripts of what we have seen as a result of Bloomberg's dogged reporting of a call that he placed to a top Kremlin aide, Yuri Ushakov, in which Mr. Witkoff, who, let me remind you, is Donald Trump's special envoy on the Russia-Ukraine war, not President Putin's, was advising Yuri Ushakov on how he ought to communicate with the White House with regard to the possibility of this 20-point peace plan that President Trump presented as his peace plan, even though, and I am not making this up, we now know that these were 20 Russian talking points that Mr. Witkoff and his team basically ran through Google Translate from Russian into English and then stuck a White House seal at the top of the piece of paper and said, right, there's our peace plan for Ukraine. It is simply astonishing. And President Trump is defending this as all part of the normal process of striking a deal, which just underscores how little clarity he has about the art of international statecraft, and also how willing he is to overlook what appears on the face of it to be an astonishing act of treachery by his special envoy, who in European capitals must now be considered a completely busted flush.
I mean, again, no exaggeration, no word of a lie, but still, for the millionth time during our conversations, it's still somewhat incredible, somewhat impossible to believe. And the meat of the message was, suck up to him, tell him he's wonderful, congratulate him, mention the eight wars he thinks he's solved. I mean, it was kind of like a How to Be a Sycophant by Steve Witkoff.
Yes, and so basic. Yes. I mean, you would think that the wily men who surround President Vladimir Putin would already probably have figured out that Donald Trump really likes a multi-point peace plan because that's what he's presented with regard to Gaza. So they probably already knew what Mr. Witkoff was telling them, which is if you really want to win the old man over, you should go with a multi-point peace plan. I mean, it completely beggars belief.
He can get his head around the simple of it. I suppose the big story in DC this morning is this shooting. It's not a shooting that will prompt enormous responses from the gun lobby as to why access to guns in this country is not a problem at all, because the shooter on this occasion is from Afghanistan. So the treatment by the White House and indeed by much of the American media will be very different from how it would be if, for example, it was a young American doing it in a school.
Well, I think the response from the gun lobby will actually be, as it would have been, even if it had been a young American in a school, we need more guns.
Yes,
I mean,
of course.
Then they would argue you need more guns in schools. Now, what has President Trump's immediate response to this been? One, to order 500 more National Guard troops to patrol the streets of a city where not only are they not needed, but after a judge has ruled their presence is illegal, yes. The administration continuing to battle against that. But also doubling down, of course, on President Trump's plan to close America's doors to all refugees except white Afrikaners from South Africa. Again, I'm not making this up. After we learned that the suspect in this case was a 29-year-old Afghan who had entered the country in 2021 as Joe Biden was seeking to offer some refugee status to some Afghans, many of whom had assisted the United States in its military occupation of Afghanistan. We don't know if this individual was one of those, but this feeds straight into Donald Trump's ability to say Joe Biden opened the floodgates to illegal immigration in the United States. We now need to double down on sealing America's doors and engaging, picking up the pace of mass deportations.
I thought, and I could be going a bit mad, I remember an interview with a US Army paratrooper who had come from Afghanistan in January. I was just trying to find it. I thought they'd already put a ban on all Afghans coming into the United States back in January.
Well, they have. They have. No, you're so absolutely
this is another
right.
Ban.
They have.
It's
they've
another...
already shut the door.
Yes.
I mean, it's another ban. I mean, he repeats these things to because he wanted to sound dramatic last night.
Right.
But this country's doors is already... that they are already closed to all refugees from conflicts all over the world, whether it's the Sudanese, whether it's Palestinians from Gaza, Ukrainians, absolutely closed, with the singular exception of white Afrikaners who claim that their farms have been expropriated by the South African government without compensation, even though they haven't been. For white Afrikaner farmers and their families, the doors of America are open.
So white liars welcome, but Afghans fleeing the Taliban, having helped allied troops fight against them, not welcome.
Doors completely closed.
And of course, this animosity towards South Africa, post-apartheid South Africa, we should say, because that's probably relevant, extends to next year's G20.
Yeah, there is a massive issue now for Keir Starmer to address. As you know, I just got back from last weekend's G20, which South Africa hosted. Mm. Next year's is being hosted in Florida. The Trump administration claims it's being hosted in Miami under the presidency of the G20, which will be Donald Trump. It's actually not being hosted in Miami. It's being hosted at a city right next door to Miami called Doral, where President Trump's golf club just happens to be located, and that is where he is planning to welcome all world leaders of G20 countries, except for South Africa. Because last night, doubling down on the disinformation that he's embraced about South Africa, continuing to claim there's an unreported white genocide taking place there, he said South Africa will not be welcome. Keir Starmer and other European leaders are going to have to take a stand and decide whether they are willing next year to participate in G20 events at Donald Trump's golf club, at which South Africa is going to be excluded. And for the Prime Minister, this is particularly problematic because he, the UK, is going to be the G20 president in 2027. Mm. So someone from Britain's got to receive the gavel from Donald Trump next year. And this at a time when number 10 can't even bring themselves to say there is no white genocide taking place in South Africa. British officials in Johannesburg last weekend again refused to answer that question. They can't even bring themselves to say there's no white genocide. Are they going to show solidarity now that Donald Trump is threatening to throw South Africa out of the G20 club?
Just to double check, because you mentioned whiteness, white Christian Ukrainian refugees would now be banned from the United States of America under this latest iteration.
Without the ones like you working tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. No matter your industry, Grainger's here for you with professional-grade supplies. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Or not.
The latest iteration of the law as it's been laid down is that a maximum of 7,500 refugees can come to the United States per year. That's down from 125,000 in the last year of the Biden administration. It says that lots of slots are reserved for white South Africans. They are specified in the law. Now, Could the odd white Ukrainian get in? Could the odd Christian Nigerian get in? Maybe. But the vast majority of the slots are being reserved only for white South Africans.
And now to his renowned gentlemanliness. It was Piggy, I think, a couple of weeks ago, the name that he chose to direct at a female journalist. And yesterday he took to calling another female journalist ugly.
Ugly from ugly from the outside and from within. This a reference to the excellent reporter Katie Rogers of the New York Times, who dared to co-author a piece in that newspaper 24 hours ago about Donald Trump beginning to show less energy and less stamina in the presidency, falling asleep at various events, his schedule each day being designed so that it ends at 5 o'clock instead of dragging on into the evening. Some of his international travel, including that trip to the G20 in South Africa, being scrubbed. And if there's one thing we know that Donald Trump recoils from, it is any suggestion that he isn't anything less than a lion of a man. And he completely recoiled from it in a social media post, accusing the woman who wrote the piece, Katie Rogers, didn't touch the guy, the co-author, going after Katie Rogers and describing her as ugly, part of a long pattern of misogynistic remarks only over the last few weeks, never mind those stretching back years.
You've done it again. You brought it all in, an extraordinary amount of information and detail. You brought it in on time. Simon, thank you. We'll do it again very, very soon. You take care and stay safe.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.